So my name's Nicole Pence Becker, and I'm a former television news anchor who woke up at 2 in the morning for several years to report the news. I absolutely love my job, but then I had 3 sons in 13 months. My husband and I welcomed twins, and then not even 13 months later, we welcomed a giant surprise. So we have sons Andrew, Colin, and Matthew. And they're 2, 2, and 1. So it is, I know, that's the best. It's the only reaction I get. Kind of people just kind of shrug their heads. They laugh and they just kind of shake it back and forth like, you know, bless you.
Welcome to the Parented Podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Gams. Join me as we explore the hardest job that you will ever love, parenting your child. If you can take a moment to rate or review this podcast, that is life to our team that works so hard to put together these episodes for you. Thanks for considering.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Okay, so tell us about who you have at home.
Okay, so I have a small litter of puppies at home. And the problem is that they're all the exact same age. Okay. So it makes life a little bit more interesting. It's not that I have more children than anybody else. I just have several children in a short period of time.
Okay.
So I had 3 sons in 13 months.
Oh my.
So I had twins and then a big whoopsie. Mm-hmm. And I called him, I lovingly referred to him as Whoopsie Boo. Mm-hmm. And he's turned out to be the best thing that ever happened because he helped change my life perspective, which is what you want, right? Uh-huh. So they are 2, 2, and 1. They're all going to be turning their next ages at 3, 3, and 2 very soon. But I have 3 sons who are incredibly energetic and physical. Mm-hmm. And that is what I would love to talk about today.
Okay, let's talk.
Yeah.
Let's talk. So let me preface this, Nicole, with parenting starts when they start talking. Before that, you're just caretaking. So you've been caretaking A lot.
30, like it was 30 diapers a day at one point. That's not a joke. It was 30 diapers a day at the beginning when the baby came. Now we're down to about 15 between all 3 little bums. You're shaking your head. It's crazy.
I hope you have help.
I do. I can't because that's the thing with me. I'm so lucky, and I know not all moms are the same way, but not only because I work a little part-time, but because I physically can't go anywhere by myself with the 3 of them because it's a safety hazard. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't physically fit 3 of them in the shopping cart, right?
Right.
Like, I could get one in the front, one in the little, actual basket, but I can't find another place for another one. So, and then they pull stuff off the shelves. So I actually have to I just need hands a lot.
Right.
I need hands.
Okay.
And I have a joke. I have a little slogan at my house that I know you can relate to. I don't have guests. I have volunteers. So if you come into my house, especially in the last 2 years, I've asked you to change a diaper. I've asked you to fold laundry. I've asked you to help pick up toys. And I'm one of those people, I don't have, like, I'm okay. I'm okay with asking for help, which I'm thankful that I am okay with that. Because there's no other way I could be sane right now if I didn't have help, because it really takes a village.
Mm-hmm. Good. Okay, so parenting starts when they start talking. So that's where we are. So they're going to turn, what are they turning?
They're turning 3, 3, and 2.
3, 3, and 2. And okay.
So the twins turn 3 on December 12th, and the baby turns 3 on January 5th. I mean, they're not even 13 months apart. I know. It's just so goofy. It's so goofy.
It's like triplets. I mean, I
call them fake triplets.
Fake triplets.
Because they look the same age. The baby's actually larger than one of the twins. And so when we go out, and just to really screw with people, I dress them all alike. It's just more fun that way.
Yeah.
And so I just call them fake triplets because they look like triplets.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my. Mm-hmm. Okay. So how can we help here? Where do we start? Yeah.
Okay. So the things that I would love your your feedback on is that right now, because I have 3 sons, right? Mm-hmm. I do believe, and maybe you don't, and I'd love some feedback on this, that there's a different, I don't know if it's physical mindset, but my boys are really active. And my sister has 3 girls. And she can, they can be, they're a lot more calm than my boys.
Uh-huh.
Physically. I mean, not necessarily, you know, their character or their personality, but their physicality is more calm.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm in this weird stage yesterday, and I was talking to my husband. I was saying, I'm actually so excited to go talk to Michelle because my problem right now is the physicality of the boys. And yet I think that's part of their DNA. So yeah. I'm struggling with that. Mm-hmm. They're really aggressive with themselves, with others, and not in a negative way, just they are. They go to the doctor's office and they're the kids that are bouncing around, and there's three of them. So they want to bounce around and their brother's doing it. So, and then the other kids at the doctor's office are sitting like this.
Still. Girls. Okay. So let's, All right. Keep going, Nicole, and then I'll talk.
Okay. So the physicality is a big thing. Also, I know I'm in a really unique situation. Twins is its own beast. So there's that element there, of course, trying to be a parent of twins where you don't compare one to the other because they have extremely different personalities. So that's like the second thing I'm interested in. And then the third thing is just, it's hard when you have three this close in age that you do remember that they are individual children. You know that they have different personalities, but they look like they're the same age. So it's hard. Like mentally, it's really hard for me sometimes to stop and say, okay, the baby, the reason the baby's crying or the reason that he's throwing himself on the ground is because he can't communicate like the twins can, even though I think he can because he's bigger than one of the twins.
Yes, absolutely.
It's like I struggle a little bit with that mental, where I got to remind myself to like, step back and say, okay, who's upset and why, and how does that their personality, how does their action right there reflect their personality, and not how does it kind of relate to the group? Because I group them a lot.
Yeah, that's a collective identity. They have a collective identity.
They do. That's the way to say it. Yeah,
They have a collective, and twins do have a collective identity, and they that's a natural thing. And you're saying it's a natural thing that the three of them have a collective identity, but it has to be more intentional giving them their individual identities because they have those. But to be lumped in, you know, it's like this, it's a human need to belong. We all need to belong. And so they belong to a tribe. They have a tribe. There's a natural tribe when you are a quote, fake triplet. There's a natural tribe.
For sure.
Yeah. But that's different than siblings who are separated with more age, years between them. And so they have an individualism to each of them, and they have less of a collective identity. Yours naturally have a collective one, and so it has to be more intentional giving them the individual one, which for as a parent, it's much easier to go, okay, you're all going to be in Taekwondo. You're all going to have swimming lessons. You're all going to be in basketball because it's easier. And that's going to be your challenge as they age is individualizing them and trying to because they're going to need that. They're going to need that.
I think of that like it's busy now because it's physically busy. You know, you're watching them so they don't fall. We had a little ER visit in 3 weeks ago because somebody fell, which
you're
going to
have many of those, Nicole, with three boys.
With three boys. That's what everybody
keeps
saying to me.
Yeah, boys, their bodies are like have a history on them. A boy, like if you talk to a 12 or 13 year old boy, they'll go, okay, see this scar right here?
Yeah.
This is what happened. And then this one, and then I broke this arm. And then
they're kind of proud of it, right?
Oh, yeah. It's their history right there.
That's
and
a
so,
good way to say it.
Yeah, it is. And so I'm just saying you got three of them, honey. And that's, yeah, so the boy thing, like your sister, so you've got this contrast too with your sister.
It's crazy. It's her oldest is three. My twins are three. And she's got three girls and I have three boys. And she can throw a puzzle down and everybody's entertained for 30 minutes. And I throw a puzzle down and it works for about 2 minutes. Eat it. Throw it. Hit it. Hit somebody with it. I throw the pieces in the vent. I don't know what they do with it, but they do something and I'll figure it out in a week when I find them somewhere. That's the difference. Why?
It's a big
difference.
I'll tell you why. So, okay. So boys. Okay. So I was lucky enough, Nicole, to parent one of each. Okay. The girl came first. Okay. So girls are typically, we're going to generalize here, but girls typically are very fine motor. They can sit. They like to color. They like to draw. That's why schools and are geared for girls. Mm-hmm. Like, there's more girls in college now than boys because girls are typically more detail-oriented, more organized, more and again, I'm generalizing. It's all on a continuum, but that's typically the case. So they're fine motor. Like, that's why they'll sit and draw, sit and paint, sit and do puzzles, cut, glue. You know, boys, gross motor. So their brain, if you can think, their brain is in their muscles.
Hey friends, if you'd like to be a guest on our podcast, we'd love to have you join us. I'm here to provide support for you parents in any way that I can. If you would like more information about how to be a guest, check out our show notes for this episode.
So I have this girl who's, you know, does that, you know, fine motor, kind of, you know, girly, very girly. Then the boy comes along, okay? He would take he was two, I think, and a half, take the fake golf club, the plastic golf club, whack, whack, whack on the couch, whack, whack, whack to his sister because there's no difference to him. It's just I'm experiencing the world physically. I'm feeling what it's like to hit the couch. I'm feeling what it's like to hit my sister. For him, there's no difference. Like, he had to learn that hurts her. He had no clue that hurts her.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I'm just experiencing the world physically. And that's what boys do. Their experience is very, you said, you know, they can be aggressive. It's just think of it as physical. Like, they're taking it in through all the senses that they can in a physical way, which is a beautiful thing because they're all in.
Yeah, they're all in.
All in,
in
man.
Every activity. But it only lasts like 5 minutes.
Right.
That's the problem. It's like, oh, now I'm done with the swing. I'm moving
on
to the
side. The attention span is brief.
Yeah.
Yes. The attention span
And with three dodging different, you know, jetting off in different directions, they're uber distracted, right? Mm-hmm. To where they want to keep up with their brother, whether it is physically or, you know.
And you're going to be dealing with a whole lot of competition among the three of them as well, because it's inherent, especially in the male species, much more so typically. And so they're going to be pitting each other against each other. Like, who's going to, and we as parents, we tend to promote competition unknowingly. It's a win-lose dynamic is what happens, because it's, I'm better than you if I can do this faster than you. I'm better than you if I'm taller than you. I'm better than you if I'm first. I'm better than you if I'm higher. I'm better. There's this sense of that. Mm-hmm. And so we can promote that competition thing too by going, let's see who's going to get their jammies on first.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see who's going to get upstairs first. And it creates this win-lose dynamic of somebody's going to win this and somebody's going to lose this. Instead of the alternative is, let's see how fast you can get your jammies on tonight. Last night it took you 19 seconds. Let's see how fast you are tonight. Not pitting you against your brothers. And I'm not saying you're going to eliminate it, Nicole. You never will, because it's going to be there with them. But you're going to have a lot of that, especially with boys. It's just going to be there.
It's funny that you say that, because the other day it wasn't. I remember thinking just like that, like trying to reframe my question. So it wasn't, well, Andrew got a sticker. Do you want a sticker, Colin? It was, who wants a sticker? You can get a sticker if you put on your shoes. And it was like, I've strategically thought, like, try not to pit them against each other. But then, naturally, it's you just like, you don't, that's because I took 1 second and thought. But I don't always have 1 second to think. So my natural inclination is to say, well, he did it, so you need to do it, you know?
Right, which is the comparing.
Which is
you
the comparing.
Up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the pitting, because nobody wants to be compared. I don't know, you said you have a sister, right?
Yeah, too.
Okay, was that it? Was that the whole family?
No, and then I have a brother.
Okay, because did you like being compared to your sister?
We did everything together, so we kind of did every. We were kind of, we were.
You were twins?
No, we were Irish twins. Oh. We were 13 months apart, too. Yeah. So it's all, it's something's, you know, in the water or something, DNA. Yeah. So my sister and I were,
Like
we did,
twins.
We were, I mean, we did a lot together, but I get what you're saying. I mean, I'm very much have an independent personality from her, but I I don't want the boys. I think it's different a little bit too. Maybe mm-hmm. I'm wrong for boys versus girls. Like mm-hmm. I saw it as like a camaraderie thing with my sister. We did everything together. We, mm-hmm. I mean, everything, shared a car, had involved in the same things because we wanted to be. Mm-hmm. But with boys, I know they're a little bit more naturally competitive. So mm-hmm. I just don't want that to, you know, get them so then they have not as strong of a relationship with each other because mm-hmm. they are competing with each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They naturally will. We'll see. And they'll tend to, in birth order, they have to differentiate from each other. And it's an unconscious thing. It's not conscious. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be trying to figure out who's the oldest, who's middle, and who's youngest. Mm-hmm. And they'll naturally fall into that. And it's how do we treat them as well with the birth order thing? Because we can tend to give a whole lot of opportunities like to the oldest to have leadership instead of giving the middle opportunities for leadership and the youngest and opportunities for leadership and always deferring to the oldest when they're this close together. Mm-hmm. Any of them could do the job.
Any of them.
Right. So that's part of your invitation too, is to be conscious of that. And as you said, I don't always have a second to pause.
I don't at all.
Honest.
Yeah.
It's honest.
But I'll try to like sit on the day and like re-say, okay, like, did I frame that right? Like, you know, because one is interested more in this and why is that, you know, and I try to see if I've made it, you know, competitive or if I've caused it to be one's more interest in the other. Mm-hmm. This is interesting. Before they were born, right? Like, I had to start kind of thinking a way of organizing stuff. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds so goofy, but I was like, okay, Andrew's going to be red. Mm-hmm. Colin's going to be blue. Mm-hmm. And Matthew's going to be green. And I think I brainwashed them into thinking that's their favorite color. Mm. Because I think now they say it. Andrew says, this is my favorite color is red. And Colin's favorite color is blue. And Matthew's favorite color is green. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that really will end up being their favorite color, but that's an example of, as a parent, I was just trying to keep it moving. Mm-hmm. Like, I was just trying to keep it organized. Okay, so your backpack is that color. Because they all have different sizes, too. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So your blanket is that color. And so, I mean, what do you think on that?
It's a powerful indicator of how much influence we have over our children.
It is.
Because they have assumed your what you've labeled. They've assumed that as their preference.
Yeah.
And certainly.
And they go out and pick that now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's their identity.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. But it didn't begin with them. Do you see how influential we are?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, parenting is everything you do. They see, they understand.
Mm-hmm. And we spend 20 years at it, and then they have to begin figuring out for themselves what it is they really think or want for themselves. And they have to, that has to keep happening, like letting it go. But you're not in that yet.
My dad has an interesting quote that I love to like remind myself of. You know, parenting is something that you can do between 1 and 18 or between 1 and 58. Mm-hmm. You know, that idea that if you're really focused on it between 1 and 18 and you want to parent them, like let them go, let them be strong enough to be independent contributors to society and whatever they want to be, then you got to do it between 1 and 18 or else you're going to be cleaning up and helping them along the way.
I love that.
Yeah, he's always said that. And I didn't get it until I was a parent. It didn't make any sense to me. Honestly, I was like, wait, I don't understand. So you do parent after 18? He's like, no.
Hopefully not, honey.
Hopefully not, honey. But yeah, you're calling me. No, I'm just joking.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I always say to parents, because when you're in it and it's overwhelming and you're exhausted and all of that, to remind yourself that if we're all going to live to be 100,
pray that I do.
Yep. That 18 years isn't that long to have them under your roof.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It will end. Like this is, even though it feels like this is, this never ends. Mm-hmm. This is all I'm doing. It will end. And that's the goal is to work ourselves out of a job.
Yeah, it is. Right? You don't want to be necessary anymore, which like kills me right now if you say that. But
yeah, well, they're attaching right now. So they're supposed to be. You're in a stage. That's what you're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I think it would be helpful to start with the five needs that a child has, because you're beginning this right now, true parenting. Okay, so when you look at them, because you mentioned earlier, looking at them and being curious why they're doing what they're doing. Like, that's a, it's a helpful lens to look at how they're getting their needs met. Okay, so we mentioned belonging is a normal need. I need to feel like I fit in this family. They have a collective identity that makes them a tribe, and they feel like they fit. That's different than if they were stair-stepped 3 or 2 years apart. It would be less of a collective identity of, I'm not really sure how I fit in this family, especially the middle one. Mm-hmm. It would be, I'm not really sure, because there's a specialness to an oldest. There's a specialness to a youngest. There's not so much specialness to the middle. Yours have specialness, each of them do, which is a helpful thing for this need. Okay, so for the need of special, valued, and important, which is another human need that we have, we need to feel special, valued, and important. And in a birth order of three boys, a middle doesn't feel special, valued, and important, but they have a specialness because of their twinhood, mm-hmm. and there's a specialness to being a youngest. Mm-hmm. So even though they're the same gender, there's a specialness by their birth order in each of them. Mm-hmm. That's different if they were stair-stepped as well.
Yeah. I'm telling you, the middle thinks he's the oldest. He actually thinks he's in the parent, my middle.
Well, do the boys know who's born first?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And is it's the other one, the one that doesn't act like the oldest?
Correct.
Okay. All right. That's fabulous. Because...
But he knows it's only by 10 minutes.
Okay, yeah. It doesn't matter, though, because when you're born 10 minutes apart, an hour apart, a day apart, whatever, it doesn't matter. There's a sense that I'm older, so I'm wiser. Okay, that is there is no wiser to 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's no wiser. I mean, a lot of times even a kid that's years older isn't wiser than the kid that's young, you know. So but there's a tendency then to fit into this birth order of being an oldest then and believing that I'm in charge and I'm the responsible one and I'm the perfectionistic one and I'm the one that has to be right, perfect, superior, and be in charge of you all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's typically what the firstborn does. If the firstborn doesn't take it, then the second often will. And that's what's happening in yours. Or it's just they were born at the same time, so it doesn't matter which one took it. But often in twinhoods, this is what happens. The oldest, even though they're only by a minute or 2 minutes, they take firstborn. That's the absurdity of it. And it's often how we treat them, mm-hmm. because we defer and go, well, you were born first, you're older. There's absurdity to that.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that makes that child more like equipped to be on this planet than the other. But we do it all the time with twins.
Mm-hmm.
And so it typically fits that. And you're saying in your case, the other one has taken it.
Yeah, I think the first one for me, Andrew, is just more cautious. He's dependable. He's more cautious. He listens better. He does have that oldest understanding. The other one is just louder.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants you to know that he's louder, that he understands things. He's very, very bright, quick learn. And so between the two of them, they just kind of mold in the roles, you know, kind of this mm-hmm. Colin, the second one is just a little bit more, you know,
mm-hmm.
he's kind of, you know, kind of got that little smirk on that he's mm-hmm. a little, he can be up to no good.
Mm-hmm.
And the oldest, Andrew, no way. He's just as sweet as pie.
Oh, so he really is behaving like an oldest then.
Yeah. He's just doing it, you know, quieter, but Colin's doing it. Collins and tells you what you're going to do.
Oh.
Hey, boys, we're going to go. Let's go play up in the playroom. He's just barking orders.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. He's a ringleader.
He's the ringleader. That's it.
For sure. He's going to stir it up.
Yeah, he actually calls himself P.T. Barnum every now and again.
Oh.
I'm not kidding. We watch The Greatest Showman, and so he'll say, I say, hi, how are you today, Colin? I'm not Colin. I'm P.T. Barnum. So.
There. Perfect.
He's the ringleader.
Yeah, he is a ringleader. Yeah, but he's not going to, he doesn't sound like he's exhibiting the firstborn like the other one is. Like
no.
He's
just the ringleader. Uh-huh. That's the best way to
often
say it.
That's an often a second or a youngest too. So mm-hmm. I don't know what the youngest will be like, but a youngest can often be very much of a clown, very humorous,
mm-hmm.
because engaging, because it hasn't been taken yet.
I don't think, and this is why it's so weird scenario, right? With three children, all the same gender, only 13 months apart or 10 mm-hmm. minutes. You know, I think the baby doesn't remember he's a baby
Mm-mm.
until he finds himself in a situation he can't communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I think in 6 months, I'm in big trouble because he will be, you know, almost 2.5 and he will be very well.
Verbal.
Yeah, very verbal and very equipped with telling me exactly what he wants and to his brothers.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think he knows. I really don't think he just gets called the baby. Mm-hmm. And the twins will wake up in the morning and say, can we go get the baby out of bed? They call him the baby.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing you do that. So that's what they
I
know.
Love it. Yeah, right. I love it. I love calling him the baby. He's bigger than one of the twins. It's just it's a lot.
Right. Because you know why we do this as parents? You love calling him the baby because we like having a baby.
Oh, I love it.
Right. We like having a baby. The downside, Nicole, though, is when people get referred to as that for their entire lifetime.
Yeah.
Because there can be adults and a parent will refer to, will introduce them and say, oh, this is my baby.
This is my baby. Yeah.
And then 40-year-olds go, I'm not a freaking baby.
Yeah, yeah,
you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it becomes also like what can happen too, and I've heard this too, that there's a woman who, she's the fourth, and she was going to a family reunion. She's the youngest of four, and she's going to the reunion, and she said, well, what can I bring? And they said, oh, it's okay. We got it.
Right, 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 right. They're off the hook.
Yeah, that you don't get to participate or you're enabled.
Yes, enabled.
Like,
yeah.
And rescued. Like you, and it's like, okay, wait a minute. I can contribute, you know, that they think that you're just,
yeah.
Because you're a baby.
Because you're the baby in their eye.
Right. And so it's helpful to consider, at what age did I stop calling my other children baby? Then I probably need to stop calling my youngest a baby at that age too. It's up to you and up to everybody out there what they do, but it's interesting to consider that.
Yeah, yeah, you know, I know. I call all of them, you know, hey, baby, what are you doing, baby? I just love thinking of them as babies.
Right.
But we have designated in the family that this one is the actual baby. And I need to move on from that because he is recognizing that he has that title.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees it as something the twins don't have.
Right.
And he's utilizing that.
Right. And it can make him, too, less capable is the danger.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Yeah, that he could be less capable because somebody's got to help me. I'm the baby. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy then. Mm-hmm. It's like the identity of the red, blue, green.
Mm-hmm.
This is me. I was told this is me, so I've got to be that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the needs. Belonging, special, valued, and important, and that is what you just talked about. He's feeling special because I'm the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so it's how are we getting our needs met of that need of special, valued, and important? Because we're going to get them met appropriately or inappropriately, whatever works and whatever we train our kids to do, they're going to get them met. So if I feel special in this family because I'm the baby, I'm going to keep playing that up. If I feel special in this family because I am the ringleader, I'm going to keep playing that up.
For sure.
Yes. If I feel special because I'm the biter and I get a lot of attention for that, I might keep biting.
Oh, we're dealing with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, let's talk about that too then. Okay, so but the needs. Okay, belonging. I need to feel like I fit in this family. If I don't get it met in the family, I'm going to belong to the neighbor, to a boyfriend, to a gang, somewhere. I need to belong. I need to feel like I fit. I need to feel loved. Give and receive love. It's not enough if you love them. It's a myth. If you love them, that's enough. It's not enough. So they need to give and receive love. It's a normal human need. Power. This is the one where parents get really sideways and you're just getting into it now, probably with all three of them, is the quote terrible twos because they get called terrible because a child just got a voice and they know it has power. It makes those big people crazy, this voice. And so now I know I've got power with this. And so then I can power store with you, which that whole word no comes in. Because you keep telling me what to do. And I go, no. And it meets my need of power because I need power too. Children inherently don't get a lot of it. We tell them where to go, when to go, with whom, what to wear, and who they are. And they go, you know, kind of flip you off because I don't want to do that. I don't want to be told what to do. And I need power too. So the 2-year-olds get a bad rap because of that need for power. Teenagers get a bad rap for it because they're trying to individuate and get more power and literally do what we talked about, which is like your dad, get out of a job here yeah. because they're trying to get out on their own. Mm-hmm. And there's this push-pull in that stage of, I really need you. I really don't need you. I really need you. I really don't need you. Mm-hmm. And so there's that power thing that's going on. And the other, there's another age where power is more intense, and that's age 5. So when the twins are 5 and then he's behind, there's going to be another where it's more intense, which is, I'm going to just tell you what I want and what I need. That's the, so it's,
oh, can't wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't wait.
Yeah. Well, thrilling. it's more intense. So it's not, it's always there. Power as a need is always there, but it's going to be more intense. Mm-hmm. It's typically 2, 5 and teen. Okay. Then finally, so special, value, and important is another human need. And then experimentation, exploration is a normal need that the mind craves novelty. I want to go check out what's over there. Mm-hmm. I want to see what that's like. I want to feel what a puddle's like and get in it. I want to feel what the sand feels like. I want to feel what a hot oven feels like. I want to touch and feel everything. And parents go, my God, you're driving me crazy. It's not personal. It's not personal to you. It's their job to experiment and explore and try things. And that's why when they become teenagers, then it becomes more dangerous, yet normal. Experiment and explore, normal human need. Mm-hmm. So it's our job to look at your 3 beautiful boys through this lens of those needs and how they're getting them met, so we can help them get them met appropriately up front and less need to get met inappropriately on the back end, which means the power struggling with you, the special staying, being a biter because I'm special in this family because I'm that, mm-hmm. or experiment, explore, and then I can drive my mom crazy doing that. It's like, instead of just accepting this reality, like this is okay that you want to do that. It's not personal. Let's figure out how you can do that safely, like in this room or in this mm-hmm. yard or in this whatever. This is your space to explore and experiment, and that you create that, and that it's good. Instead of, oh, we have to keep everything clean and you don't get to touch things. It's like, that's insanity, because mm-hmm. a child's job is play. That's how they experience the world. That's how they learn, is through play. They're experts. We've lost our expertise at play. We get really grown up and responsible. They're experts at it. We can learn from them.
Yeah, I feel like I have a good understanding and appreciation for that. I'm not good. I feel equipped to be a boy mom in that sense. Like I good. Love going to the park and getting messy and walking home in diapers. Like it just doesn't bother me. Like I absolutely love getting my hands dirty with them, letting them explore, seeing that creativity. For me, it's just, there's so many, right? So yeah. I'm, making sure, for instance, at the park that the ones up the slide is coming down, right. safely, and the other one's climbing up this way. It's like, I'm just in that safety hazard zone where we've got that physicality because they're boys and the, the power struggle of attention. So it just, that's where I'm at. Like,
yeah, that is a corralling, and it's mm-hmm. You literally are trying to keep them alive.
Yeah,
you're just save them from themselves.
Right.
At this stage.
Yeah,
you are.
Yeah, it's funny because I have friends who have one son, right? And they're like, oh my gosh, he's crazy. I'm like, hey, yeah, I kind of get it. Like, and that's not to say that my situation deserves more accolades or not. It's just that is what I'm dealing with.
Uh-huh,
that's
your truth.
I'm dealing with 3 boys who are physical, who are also realizing that there's this one mommy, and we're starting to be more interested in where I'm going, what I'm doing, how I'm, why am I going too worky, mm-hmm. That kind of a thing. And it just makes it different.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is. So you have to come at it differently with your, that's your reality. This is your reality.
Yeah.
The pool in which you're swimming.
Yeah.
So let's accept that.
Yeah.
And
how do I
do it?
And I do. And that's what I think, I'm thankful that, God has given me that acceptance. Like, okay, I accepted it and I changed my focus in my life mm-hmm. to be able to be present for this mm-hmm. situation. And I'm so thankful that I did. It's just mm-hmm. also like, okay, it doesn't, it keeps on keeping on. Like, it's not like a chance. You get a pause anytime soon.
No. Uh-uh. Want to talk about biting?
Sure.
Okay. Tell me what's going on. Tell me what happens.
So we have, the oldest, which is interesting, he will every now and again bite. And obviously it's because somebody's trying to take something from him that mm-hmm. he's currently, and he's the softest and he's the least aggressive out of the 3 of them. So he says no, he tries to tell them no, and then they don't listen. And so that's where he goes to if he's really trying to make a statement. And he makes a statement. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to figure out how to stop that from happening. Mm-hmm. I'd love some thoughts on that.
Okay. So he's angered and he has tried because he can
tried. Yep.
He's verbally.
Yeah.
He can be. Yeah. He's. Because some
Colin,
kids,
do not take my toy. I'm playing with this toy. Collie, no, no, no. It's Andrew's right now.
Okay.
It's Andrew's turn. Okay. And he's very, and I see him do it, and he communicates, and then the little ringleader goes in and steals it and runs off, and he wrestles mm-hmm. him down. He's bigger. Mm-hmm. He's the biggest. So if he gets mad, he'll throw an he'll throw an elbow or mm-hmm. bite a back. Mm-hmm. That's where we're at. That's mm-hmm.
yeah. mm-hmm. Okay. So if there are any kicking, biting, it can be even name calling, that kind of thing. Like if you're not there, I would think, but mm-hmm. that you could get there where they're calling you names or whatever, mm-hmm. because that can happen. You want to do the same thing, which is take everyone in the room and move away. So whoever is biting, you say whoever got bit, you give the attention to the victim. Are you okay? Mm-hmm. Let's help you. Mm-hmm. You know, not in a coddling baby way. That's not it either. Not in a pitying way. It's just attention to that instead of a whole lot of negative attention to the biter or mm-hmm. the offender.
Sense. Yeah.
And then we're all going to move. So you can, it doesn't have to be like where you close a door. It's just over a threshold to another room. We're going mm-hmm. to move over here because mm-hmm. Andrew's biting. Andrew feels the need to bite right now, so we're not safe, okay? So everybody is moving. Even though it was just one that got bit, you're not safe. Nobody's safe. Mm-hmm. If there was a baby in a carrier, you move them.
Yeah.
Nobody's safe because Andrew feels like biting right now. And so we need to move. So you move, and then he's going to, in all of 10 seconds, 5 seconds, 30 seconds, be coming, toddling over to where you all are because I don't want to miss out on you people. And it's then your job to get down to his level and say, Andrew, are you done biting? And he might look at you like you're an alien. Mm-hmm. Andrew, are you done biting? And he'll say, whatever he says, like, yes, no, whatever. Okay, because I just need to know if you're done, if we can stay in the same room with you. Because if you're not done biting, we're all going to move to another room. You literally keep moving.
So what's the thought on doing that rather than moving him to timeout?
Okay, because him moving to timeout initiates that whole need for power.
Mm-hmm. Gives him the attention.
Well, it gives him the attention, but then it becomes a power struggle about timeout. Mm-hmm. Where he's going, for how long, what, and then all he's doing is pissed at you. He's not reflecting on the behavior. He's not thinking about the biting. He's just pissed that you put me in freaking timeout mm-hmm. and let me get out of this. Mm-hmm. Not one second is devoted to, let me think about that biting thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not at
that
all.
That makes sense.
Not at all.
Yeah, because I normally just pick him up, take him to timeout. We go to another room, go play, and he sits in timeout till that timer goes off.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're saying he doesn't get the reflection of, oh, I did that. Mm-mm. Now he's just thinking about how he's in timeout.
Yeah. And how do I get out of this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll just wait for the beep to go off and I have to say sorry.
Right. Yeah. But there's not real remorse or real behavior right. change because he's just thinking, timeout is typically a punishment. Mm-hmm. And we do it because we don't know what else to do. Mm-hmm. Parents do, we are all doing the best job we can. Mm-hmm. We all are out there doing the best job we can. And we only do things because we don't know what else to do. And when we learn other things to do, we go, oh, okay, that might be more effective. Mm-hmm. You know?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I love to, honestly, one of the most interesting and beneficial things for me as a parent when I get together with other moms is not like, oh, where do you get your kids' clothes? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, whatever. Instagram will tell me that. It's like, how are you dealing with this? Mm-hmm. What's in your lunchbox right now? What is mm-hmm. something that you guys are struggling with? Because I value other people's opinions, and I know that experience is the best way to learn. Mm-hmm. And so it is kind of fascinating when you're out with other women And you say, hey, just, are you guys dealing with this? Like, my boys are just beating the hell out of each other.
Right,
you
know? Right. It's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Nicole,
no, I have daughters. And I'm like,
right, exactly. You get the pin drop. Like, yeah, yeah. What's wrong with you? Because we don't have that.
Right. I'm like, yeah. Well, you don't have three, like, football players.
Right, you do. And
they're
that's
all
exactly...
dressing for varsity at right. the same damn time. Oh, man.
Yeah, you do. I remember, my daughter was very, when she was born, a lot of crying, had to walk her, cry at stop signs, stop lights. The minute you put your foot on the gas, she'd stop.
Oh.
So we were, I was in an exercise class for pregnant women, and we all got together after we had these babies. Their babies are sitting in their little pumpkin seats, like chilled.
Chilled.
Oh, no. No, not mine.
Yeah.
No, we're walking.
Yeah.
We're walking because there's no way we're hanging here if we're not walking.
Right, 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 right. Because you can't be the one that has the screaming baby right there and disrupting these women's moments.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, but she's going to be.
She's
and
going
so they're
to be,
looking
yeah.
at you like, what's up with your kid? Because they don't know the difference.
Right.
And you're saying yours are like, they don't know. A woman with a daughter is going to look at you like, I don't know.
We were in the waiting room the other day because, you know, it's really smart to bring all three of your kids to the doctor's office at the same time. Yeah. Sarcasm, please note that. But you don't want to make three trips, right? So you just do it. You grin and bear it.
Yeah.
But there we are, a little girl just sitting there, just
watching
Elmo on the TV, and my kids are yelling, Elmo, why are you dancing like that? And then they're all dancing, and then they're shaking, and then the other one dances, and the other doesn't like the other kid's dance moves. So, you know, he's hitting. It's just like, it's nuts.
Yes. It's a free-for-all.
It's a free-for-all.
Uh-huh.
It's a frat house.
Kind of. Yeah, a frat house. That's a good way to
describe it. Minus there's no alcohol, but that it is a frat house. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a loving, I mean, just know their physicality is a way of love as well. Like,
it is. They love to hug their brother. Oh. And then they love to give him a high five. They love, I mean, all three of them love to go over and show that physical love.
Mm-hmm.
But then they like to demonstrate when they're upset with one of them is biting recently. Mm-hmm. So there's that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great tip. I appreciate
that.
Do
you think that you could do that?
Oh yeah, I can do that. Okay. Yeah. I will do that. Like I love to take feedback and experience from other people and practically imply that in my house. Like, come on over, Michelle. You don't have guests. I have volunteers. You can just.
I love that. I do.
It's true. I don't.
I don't have guests. I have volunteers.
It's true. Don't visit my house if you think that it's going to be, you know, I'm going to hand you a LaCroix and we're just going to sit and chop it up. I don't have time, you know, but that's what makes it fun. That's what makes it real. That's what makes it interesting.
Yeah.
I love it. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love it.
Uh-huh. You're meant to have these boys.
I am.
You are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they're lucky to have you.
I hope they think that.
They
do right now. Mm-hmm. But we're only 2-2 and 3.
Right. Yeah.
2-2 and 1. Hell, I don't even know their ages.
Okay. Well, okay. So what else we got here?
No, I think there is one thing, though. You know, as somebody in, I don't know if this is appropriate, you obviously don't have to use it if you don't want to, but somebody who's, you know, has, you know, a little bit of a public platform, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I'm very open about sharing about parenting struggles or parenting milestones that we're experiencing, like our first ER trip. And hey, here's what I learned and here's what I thought was helpful, whether it was called one of my girlfriends on the way. I said, do I go all the way to a pediatric ER? Yep. If he can stand it, get there because you're going to get this type of care. It was like, okay. And I wrote about that and people were like, that's a good tip, you know? And I only bring that up because I think it's really helpful to, you know, be able to share honestly and freely, but I think though still in this society, even of demonstrating and putting out there your, you know, kind of your experiences, albeit maybe some are a little bit more honest than others, you still go out to places like Gymboree or the grocery or the park. And you still, though, get some sense every now and again of a little bit of mommy judging, you know? And you just kind of, I find that to be so odd, right? Mm-hmm. We're living in this day and age where everybody do your own thing. You do you. You be happy. And everybody posts on social media about respecting other people's beliefs. And then when you get to the experience part, there's a lot of women still, though, that they can't quite get there. You know what I mean? That they'll be like, oh, God, those three boys are running around like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Not causing any problems. They're just Mm-hmm. They're just walking around the mm-hmm. waiting room, you know, mm-hmm. kind of like looking at everything, touching everything. Mm-hmm. Oh, your backpack's blue, you know, mm-hmm. going up to everybody. They're super mm-hmm. gregarious. And I wonder why, this is my long-winded question, why that happens still. Mm-hmm. Like, why women judge other women when we actually have all been through this shared, unique experience of motherhood. Mm-hmm. I find that odd to me mm-hmm. that that still happens. I don't know if you have an answer for mm-hmm. it.
Well, Nicole, what's your answer?
I don't know. I don't think I have an answer. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think I know what the answer is other than I think, you know, maybe if people are judging people, it makes them feel better about themselves. Mm-hmm. I don't mm-hmm. know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I put you down, there's a sense of superiority.
For sure.
And it's a sense of I'm okay.
Mm-hmm. In this instance, I got this over you.
Right. And it's a fleeting, and it's not a true solid sense of mm-hmm. security that you're talking about. It's just a fleeting thing. And everyone is guilty of it. We're natural judgers as human mm-hmm. beings.
Yeah.
Humans, not women, just right. human beings. And it's you know how you said, if I can think for a second, then I can access something else.
Mm-hmm.
So when you don't think, when you don't access that, it's a reaction. Okay? Those are the things that we often regret because
mm-hmm.
we don't pause to think. Mm-hmm. But if we can pause to think, it's a response. And so if we can upload into parents' heads tools, ideas, strategies, they can be uploaded up there, but you're never going to use them unless you can pause and think.
Mm-hmm.
And same with this whole judging thing, that if you know that it's inherent in each of us and you're going to naturally do it unless you pause and think.
And I'm not saying that I don't ever do it. I mean, I'm mm-hmm. human, right? But I think being in this unique circumstance with these three kids the same age, I've had to just let go of a lot of stuff.
Yes.
Like, it just doesn't matter that mm-hmm. when we eat at Chick-fil-A, it looks like there's an explosion of chicken and French fries. And I'm on the ground trying to clean it up, yelling at the ladies at Chick-fil-A, I'm so sorry. And they're like, get out of here. It's okay. You know? But
yeah.
And I look over at the other table, and these kids are perfectly picking up their Chick-fil-A. And I'm like, eh? You know?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why that still happens.
You're saying that you would like...
Maybe it's my own guilt. I don't know.
Well, that you would like to feel a sense of support and compassion for your situation rather than distance and disdain.
Well, I just think that it's not even that I need the empathy. It's that I think it's odd that in this day and age of the year of the woman, people putting out there that we want to be, you know, focused on, you know, respecting everybody in their unique moments and their unique situations. I find it odd that I still run into situations where I don't feel that same empathy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's it. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe that other moms don't see that, but I see it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We live in such in social media, influential, like the yeah. world of social media is so influential in parents' lives right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that we all talk about empathy and respecting everybody's unique parenting styles. And I wonder if, you know, how much of that is words versus actions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, if you apply, because it sounds like you're...
And how do you apply it to other people's families and to your own, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay, a couple things. The social media thing is its own unique beast because typically in social media, it's presented as your best self.
Yeah.
It's not typically your real self. That's my understanding. I'm very limited in my experience with social media,
mm-hmm.
but it sounds like you have a lot more experience there.
Mm-hmm.
And is that the case?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, there is part of your answer that this is my best self is I've got this.
Mm-hmm.
I've got this figured out. You know what you're talking about, like the disdain.
Yeah. Well, you'll see that on social media. And then
instead of, you know what, I just saw something on social media that it says, be the woman who helps another woman straighten her crown without ever letting her know it was crooked.
Yeah. Yeah. I really try to prescribe by that, like mm-hmm. through my daily life. I don't maybe always hit it, but I really do try to. Maybe that's because of my experiences having been in a really cutthroat business where it was win or loss. Either one person was the television anchor at that time slot or they weren't, mm-hmm. right? There wasn't any room for, mm-hmm. you know, five doctors at that office, right? Mm-hmm. So I have that kind of thought that's always in the back of my head. But I do think that mommy shaming is something that always needs to be discussed and just reminded, because all of us probably do it at some point. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we just need to remember that everybody's situation is so uniquely theirs, mm-hmm. and you should recognize that, mm-hmm. and give empathy to other situations that are extremely much more difficult. Like, mm-hmm. I'm blessed with three healthy sons. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a lot different than some people, and that, mm-hmm. I know. Mm-hmm. So if they run around and take their diapers off when mm-hmm. we're standing on the porch and I have to corral them back inside because they're mm-hmm. naked, mm-hmm. that's okay.
Yep. Good for you. Yeah. Permission. And it sounds like you have overcome that, given yourself permission to, mm-hmm. to have kids misbehave or be who they are wherever they are, which is a judgment piece that most mothers have to at some point let go of and get over. Not all of them do, but where it's this is the way we are at Target, and mm-hmm. it ain't pretty, and we're leaving. You know,
that's the best example.
Yeah,
yeah. But I think I got forced into it. I think as a mom of twins, you kind of go, oh yeah, wow, I'm breastfeeding two kids at the same time for the first time in my life, breastfeeding. Yep. That's just what it is. Keep it moving. Don't complain. Don't move. Don't try to figure out how to make it different or change it. That's what you're going with, you know? Mm-hmm. So I feel blessed in that sense that I did. And you just, I can't even.
You got thrown in.
I got thrown
way in. Like, it's like there's no even yeah. pretending like I got this.
Yeah.
I'm in over my head, and I'm going to be the first to tell you I'm in over my head.
And that's why we don't have guests. We have volunteers. So, but it's like, that's what I mean. Like, I'm not even close to a perfect parent, but I'm saying I wish there were more. Every now and again, sometimes when I go out and I do the play dates places, I do sometimes wish there was a little bit more empathy between moms in general, not just mm-hmm. because it's my kids. Mm-hmm. I'll see other moms judging other moms' kids. And it's like, ugh, mm-hmm. you know, we all have this unique shared experience that, like, really some women aren't even lucky enough to get, you know, mm-hmm. and just so, like, give it a minute, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. like, and don't tell the kids they have to share immediately, like, mm-hmm. let them just for a second, just communicate mm-hmm. on their own.
Mm-hmm. I remember reading this once to Nicole about how, you know, like, if you know how you have kids, if they're asleep and you need to go into a store, okay. Mm-hmm. And you would do anything to let them keep sleeping.
No, right.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
And it's like, and so there are times that women, mm-hmm. us moms, mm-hmm. go, okay, I'm going to pull the car up and I'm going to run. I can see my kids mm-hmm. and I'm going to run in mm-hmm. and I'm going to run out. Okay. Mm-hmm. And there's all kinds of this that goes on all over.
Actually, I was just talking to Yes. I was just talking to a woman about, you know, think about the woman who works three jobs. Mm-hmm. Like she has to run in somewhere else mm-hmm. and grab, and then somebody calls the cop. I mean, right. that's not okay that she left the kid in there, but like there are different circumstances.
Yeah, there are. And what I remember reading about is, so say that you see that happen as mm-hmm. a fellow mother, okay? That you see a child is asleep in a car and the mom has gone in and you come up to the car, okay? That there is this is the moment you're talking about, because mm-hmm. the moment is judgment and call the cops of what she's doing wrong, versus what I read about was a mom who stood there.
And just waited.
Yeah.
To be helpful.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great example.
Yeah. I'm just here to, like, it's no problem.
Yeah, no problem. I saw that you know, I've got 5 extra minutes, like, when yeah. you run in and pay for your gas because you don't have a credit card at the
yeah.
pump.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay.
Yeah, it's all okay.
I can stay here. Take a minute. Grab whatever you yeah. need. Yeah. yeah. Gosh, that's a really good example. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And you just did a good example. This is why you're the professional. but that's it. You know, yeah. that, you know.
Like support. I got your back.
That there's a woman's recognition that woman has a shared experience with you that transcends a lot of different things. And you should just recognize that first and say, okay, so we're like, mm-hmm. I got you. I can see where you're at right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of value to that.
Yep.
To recognizing that. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I do it all the time, but I'm trying to.
Well, you'll have so many opportunities of that after your kids aren't in what they're in. Right now, you need it from other women.
Yeah, I'm just in like tribal survival.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And again, that's the only experience I have. So, I mean, I'm talking as a mother of two and one-year-olds. Like,
right.
I don't know the throngs of parenting. Yeah. I'm child rearing.
Yeah.
It's different.
Yeah. Yeah. You're entering it.
Yeah. We're getting there.
You are. Okay. You touched on sharing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll share what my sentiment on sharing, because you have three too. Unless you have three of everything, there's a lot of opportunities
to
share. Well,
that's interesting that you say that. When the twins were little, yeah. I did get two of everything.
Right.
And then it was like, this is getting ridiculous. I can't get three of everything. So I try to get just three of similar things. Mm-hmm. So at least there are three balls, right? Mm-hmm. They don't all look the same. And I've mm-hmm. stopped getting the twins ones that look exactly the same. And then the babies is different. Because
mm-hmm.
or else then we all want the baby's ball.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I called him the baby again.
See? But now you're aware of it.
His name is Matthew. I'm actually not certain I said his name this entire time. His name is Matthew.
See how aware we get, Nicole? Yeah. We get aware of what mm-hmm. we're doing, and we don't even know we're doing it.
I know. It's
like
crazy.
This is how we are.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah.
Don't
it's
know.
Crazy.
Okay. Well, hi, Matthew.
Yeah.
Hi, Matthew, and your special ball.
So cute.
Uh-huh. Yeah, of course you'd want his, because he's the easiest to violate.
Absolutely.
And we could get his easier.
Mm-hmm. He can't talk back to you.
Right. Yeah, but then he'll bite. If he's really pissed, he could do that, because that gives him what he needs, mm-hmm. if he doesn't have the language. Okay, the sharing thing. Okay, that I believe it's a disservice to teach our children that they must share everything. I think that sends a terrible message. And the message is that others' needs are more important than your needs.
Hmm.
So I think there are some things that need to be shared, and there are some things that don't. So if they are your private things that you do not want your brothers to play with, they need to go in your room or your side of the room or your closet or your drawers or your something that indicates this is off limits. This is yours, and this is not open for community use. If you do not have those things put in those areas, it is available for community use. Whether it's your brothers or your friends that come over or your cousins, then it's available. If you do not want it to be played with and you want to protect it for your own usage only, you have that right. It was your birthday gift. It was your whatever. It's for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not everything doesn't have to be shared, because mm-hmm. I think that's a terrible message
mm-hmm.
that you have to share everything. It's like, well, wait a minute. This is mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this, and I mm-hmm. want to protect it and care for it and not have it be broken or wrecked or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I have that right.
And it's difficult. And this is great information for me, because even with twins, right? Like, they have the same birthday. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we open up gifts. And then they kind of just naturally do share, right? Like, they'll run over and play with Andrew's toy. They run over and play with Colin's toy. And then they'll kind of actually just switch, mm-hmm. you know? But as they're getting older, I think they're understanding, well, I'm asking for this for my birthday, or I would like this from mommy, or I want, can daddy get me this, you know, if I'm good boy, you know? And so I think they are starting to take that understanding of possession.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be interesting to see that develop, because I don't, you know, we're not quite there mm-hmm. yet, you know, mm-hmm. where things that they've designated things are mine,
mm-hmm.
except for their blankets, you know, mm-hmm. they'll say, oh no, that's not my blanket. That's Collie's blanket, you mm-hmm. know, but we're not quite there yet with the.
Yeah. And there, well, and then that identity thing, that they're all still in that tribe, as mm-hmm. you say.
Yeah.
And so they're going to become more and more individuals with individual preferences and interests and desires. And so they will have different things.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be curious and wonderful with the diversity mm-hmm. among three boys
mm-hmm.
to have that.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be interesting. I want to see that, or I want to play with that, yes. or I'm interested in that. And it's up to them if they choose to share some of their stuff. Not all of it, because our children in America, every child is indulged. Every child is indulged. When you get lollipops going through the bank, when you get toys for eating your food at a fast food, I mean, they're all indulged.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not yours or mine or anybody. They're all indulged. So it's just, they have a lot of stuff. Everything doesn't need to be shared.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily think everything has to be shared yet, but we're not at the point where, you know, they want it to be mine. You know, mm-hmm. they play as a tribe. They go mm-hmm. to the playroom and they all play as a tribe and they play with things and they just keep moving. They just go back and forth from things, you know, almost like a pinball. They just mm-hmm. move it together and move to the next mm-hmm. thing. So we're not there quite yet, mm-mm. but I do appreciate that feedback because maybe we're almost there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're going to, it's much easier too, Nicole, to do what you're doing, which is learn and ask and be curious about how to develop best practices, because it's a lot easier to develop best practices than it is to undo bad ones mm-hmm. and rebuild. Mm-hmm. That's a lot more energy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Because when you realize this ain't working, but we have this dance established at our house now.
Right,
so
right,
I know
right.
how this works, you know, as your child.
Yeah, no, I'm one thing that I did before I had the twins is I learned about sleep training. I'm a very big proponent of sleep training because a baby needs to sleep mm-hmm. and mom needs to sleep mm-hmm. and anybody else in the house needs to sleep too. And I think sleep training has that bad connotation, you mm-hmm. know, where you're telling the baby how to sleep. And it's not that. It's just giving them the tools and best practices to utilize to get them to then sleep from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. Not because you want to watch Netflix, but because that is what is healthy for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I researched the hell out of that, and I hired an expert to help me do mm-hmm. it with the twins. And I successfully then implemented that for the baby, and by 14 weeks, all three of them slept from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. And
wow.
I'm no crying. Yeah, no crying it out. Yeah, they didn't cry it out. They didn't, you know, because they did it. It was a healthy learning to soothe themselves and to recognize that they need sleep. And I struggle with parents like, yeah, well, they're still in our bed at 5 months. And I look at them and say, I am not judging you, but that isn't healthy for you or the baby. So, you know, maybe look into this idea. That's the only thing I'm really passionate about, that idea of sleep training.
Mm-hmm.
It's a random thought.
Yeah. Huh?
That might have been a random thought. But
well, no, it's like you were saying, establishing things is easier.
Right, that's what I mean. Like I went, to your point, like I went out and found somebody who could teach me how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I could do it right, so I wasn't fixing it at 9, 10, 11 months trying mm-hmm. to then get them to sleep. Like,
mm-hmm.
I wanted them to sleep from the beginning. Again, not because it was about my schedule. It was about them being able to sleep. So then they were, and they're still to this day fabulous sleepers. They sleep 12 hours every night, except for when they wake up and realize that their, you know, new toy is in the playroom or their new toy is somewhere else and they can go use the flashlights that they just got from their grandparents to go hunting at 5 a.m. But other than that, you know.
Oh, how great.
Right, right. I say, well, you're up at 5. I'll give you take a nap at 10. No. No, nap's not till 12:30. Yeah, you woke up at 5. Good luck.
Oh, that's good.
That's how I see it. I mean, that's
really good. No, it's a natural consequence.
Well, mm-hmm. you got to go to school 2 days a week, and school doesn't end till 1. So if you're going to do that and wake up at 5, you can't change your whole schedule. You can't mm-hmm. change how you're going to do your day. Maybe I'm too harsh sometimes.
No, I think that's really good. It's
again, I'm running an army at my house.
I know you are.
It's different.
Mm-hmm. No, you're, that's all good.
I don't have
that's
any time. Beautiful. I don't have as much time to be empathetic to you, you know,
yeah.
certain situations.
Do they, how do they know when it's time to get up?
That, you know, I did try the little alarm clock thing that was colorful, and they kind of thought that was a little scary. They just, again, I think it goes back to sleep training, which is mm-hmm. why actually, you know, one blog thing that I did on my video, I did a video blog about sleep training and why I think it's so beneficial. And I brought in an expert to talk about it with me and encouraged other moms to utilize that. And I think the only reason they know when to sleep is that they feel refreshed. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen them before where they'll, you know, I happen to be up on the monitor and they'd wake up at like 2 a.m. and kind of turn around and they go back to bed. You know, mm-hmm. they knew that wasn't enough sleep. So mm-hmm. I think I think the twins are almost in the stage though. They may need to drop that afternoon nap. So mm-hmm. we're almost 3. So we're mm-hmm. there. So that's a different thing. But
mm-hmm.
they know that they need that sleep. They mm-hmm. know they're better. When they wake mm-hmm. up at 5:30 because, mm-hmm. you know, two mornings a week because, you know, the one twin goes over and, you know, wakes the other one up.
Mm-hmm.
That's just because they want to get up with their brother.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, right. they sleep.
That's good. for everybody.
Yeah.
Your battery's charged.
Yeah.
Mom's and theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Dad, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it's funny because I know that whether my career as a television journalist for 12 years or currently I'm running my own media consulting company, I blog, I do the influencer thing in our community, and I'm really focused on continuing to use my public personality to continue to engage in community mm-hmm. initiatives. I'm very passionate about certain organizations like Make-A-Wish. Mm-hmm. I've been on their board for a couple of years. So I say that, though, by my most favorite introduction is the one of 3 sons in 13 months, because it is definitional for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, because I had that third son in 13 months, I paused my television news career. And mm-hmm. that was a huge decision for me. And I struggled with it for about 6 months after, right? Like, oh, my God, did I do the right thing? And mm-hmm. I was guessing my independency and my self-worth and everything. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely did. I mean, because when you shake your head and you kind of laugh and you go, I know what you're going on. I mean, there was no other way to get through this child rearing phase when mm-hmm. you have 3 in 13 months. So mm-hmm. it is definitional for me. And I love to introduce myself like that because it is goofy. Mm-hmm. it's just
yeah,
nuts.
It gets real, real quick.
Real quick. People go, oh,
right. You
know? And I'm like, yeah, right. That was 30 diapers a day. We're down to 15. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All boys, yeah, you know, like
right.
His head's just kind of roll, you
right?
Know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's annoying,
right?
And then what you'll it's the looks change, because I remember when I would say I have 2 small kids, and mm-hmm. the look you got is what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And I remember realizing I can't say that now. They're school age, like it's
yeah,
not
yeah,
it's
yeah,
a
because yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a different look. Mm-hmm. There's a different knowing. It's mm-hmm. not the same.
Not the
it's
same.
Not the same physicality that's required in what you're in right now.
Yeah.
And everybody that's been there knows it.
Well, I joke because I have a lot of friends who will say, okay, what the heck are you doing to lose all that weight? Because when you have twins, mm-hmm. you're supposed to gain weight. And I am not exaggerating. I ate Culver's like legitimately like 5 times a week when I was pregnant with the twins because I wanted them to be big babies. And I was blessed with babies who didn't have to go to the NICU, and I mm-hmm. carried them full term. And so I've lost like 65 pounds. And people are like, how the hell? I go, I get 10,000 steps every day, whether I want to or not. Like, and that's just the phase that I'm in.
Yes.
And that is, everybody's like, yeah, right, you're working out. I'm like, no, I'm not. I am. That is a workout.
Yeah, it is. Keeping these 3 boys alive is a workout.
Alive is a workout. And I'm not exaggerating. It's 10,000 steps, whether I want to do it or not,
uh-huh.
you know? So
oh, that's great. It's built in.
It's just built in. And what am I going to do when they go to school? I'm screwed. I'm going to gain back like 15 pounds. So there's that negative point. Like, I will have to work out then,
well,
right?
Well, by then you'll find your thing.
Right, right. By then will. I'll be like,
you'll
oh,
have
wow.
space
I'll have
to
space.
Do it.
Yeah,
yeah
I'll
you
have
will.
The time and space.
You're
to
like,
be like,
what is space? I
yeah,
don't know what
space?
That is.
Hello, treadmill. How are you? It's been a couple years. Yeah. Just recently started getting on the treadmill and walking, so I'm back to that, but yeah. Like 2 days a week. But
that's nice.
So there you go. That's me.
Okay. Thank you. I never said it would be easy. I only said it would be worth it. Peace to you, Mom or Dad. It starts there. You've got this.